And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. May I speak in the name of God, who is Lord over all. Amen. Please be seated. It's such an interesting image, isn't it? A ladder connecting heaven and earth. I wonder what that ladder was made out of in Jacob's dream. I wonder how sturdy that ladder was in Jacob's imagination. I don't know about you, but any ladder that I've ever been on that's more than about 10 feet tall starts to feel pretty wobbly. The good thing about the story, I suppose, is that it isn't humans using that ladder, shaking around, but instead we hear that the angels are using it, going up and down from heaven. Now, whether you're a young person or an adult, I'm willing to bet that you have some idea about angels. They've made their way into our culture. Angels are also all over the Bible. They're in today's lessons from Genesis, and they're scattered throughout all of the Old Testament. They're in today's reading from Revelation, and they're all over the New Testament, including the Gospels. The word angel, at its most basic meaning, it simply means messenger. In this case, a messenger of God. When we think about angels in this way, I think the idea of them becomes a little bit less bizarre. They're simply part of God's created order, and they assist God as messengers. Angels have a key role in the Christmas story, too. The angel Gabriel is the one who announces to Mary that she will be the mother of Jesus. In the church, we actually have a stained glass window with an angel in it. It's the only angel that I was able to find. Mr. P and I looked all over, and it's right up here. Mary and the angel above her, the angel Gabriel. And on the other end of the Christmas story, after Jesus is born, we're told that the angels are the first ones to give the good news about Jesus' birth to those shepherds out watching their flocks at night. It brings me back to Jesus and our gospel lesson from John. We heard at the end of that passage that the angels of God will ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. Think about what's happening here. In Genesis, we had the angels ascending and descending upon a ladder. But with Jesus, he himself is that ladder. Heaven and earth meet in Jesus. In Jesus, it's made perfectly clear that the divine is not separate from creation, but instead that God longs to be a part of creation, to be one with the whole world. As I said, angels are messengers of God, and in our reading from Genesis, we see the angels helping Jacob understand that the Lord is in the place where he is standing. Jacob says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This passage, by the way, is etched onto the side of the church building, to the right of the main doors out here. I invite you to take a look at it as you exit today or the next time you walk by it. It's worn down by all the years of rain and wind, but it proclaims that same truth that Jacob proclaimed so long ago. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I've been wondering this week how angels might figure into our own lives and imaginations as helping us to recognize God's presence and activity in our lives. So I've got some guidelines for us on angels. I'll call them Derek's official angel guidelines. Angel guideline number one. Angels seem to always appear to humans when humans are afraid. Look for them when you are afraid. Perhaps it isn't an angel in the divine sense, but perhaps it is an angel in the everyday sense. Someone who is really nice, really good. Someone who comes alongside you when you are afraid or anxious and reassures you that it's going to be okay. Angel guideline number two. Angels are not all or nothing. It isn't either that the angels are of the nature that we find them in Hallmark movies or that we have nothing at all. It doesn't have to be like that. Instead, the angels revealed in Scripture are spiritual beings. They don't really have a physical body like you might see in the movies. So keep an open mind about what might constitute an angel. Angel guideline number three. Angels don't replace God, but they do help God. They're part of God's creation, and they help point us towards God. Angel guideline number four. The primary job of angels is to worship God night and day for all eternity, which is something that we actually talk about every Sunday. We'll say it in just a bit when our rector, Reverend Ryan, prays the Eucharistic prayer. He'll say, "Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name." In that song that we sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts," we're echoing the prayers of angels. And it's also really interesting because it means that even when we're praying by ourselves, when we're praying at home or wherever, we aren't really praying by ourselves, are we? If the angels of God are always worshiping and praying to God, then when we do so, we're just joining in with them across time and across space. Angel guideline number five. Sometimes there are odd cultural connections with angels. Take St. Michael. Have you ever heard the word Michaelmas, or St. Michael's feast day? It's a common term in the UK, and it heralds the start of a new academic term in the universities, often called Michaelmas term. So happy Michaelmas. My sixth and final guideline. Tradition says that on the feast of St. Michael, St. Michael defeated Satan, as we heard read in our reading from Revelation. Who knew that there was a day where we might remember that? But what it does is it sets up the idea that angels are always fighting, night and day, to keep evil at bay. I hope you might find these angel guidelines helpful. Angels are one of those mysteries of our faith, but they're also something that adds a lot of richness to it. Angels are not simply imaginary beings, nor are they the things of fairy tales. And they scrape just the surface of an entire created order of things that exists outside of our ability to observe with our senses. I think angels are something that children are able to imagine a bit better than adults. Children are naturally disposed to awe and a sense of mystery. They don't see the world in black and white, nor do they imagine that reality is limited to what we can observe for ourselves. At the end of the day, angels are here for you and for me. And they're here for you and for me because God's here for you and for me. If angels are meant to assist with God's work, to be God's messengers, then they are wherever we are. At the same time, they're helping us orient ourselves continually towards Christ. And if anything in our readings this morning really stands out to me, it's that transition from Genesis to John, and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder to doing so on Jesus himself, that person that connects heaven and earth, God and man. No longer do we ask the question about what that ladder connecting heaven and earth is made out of, or whether or not it might be too wobbly. Instead, we know that in Christ, that ladder is made out of flesh and blood, like you and me, and is also fully God. Because of that, the sturdiness of that ladder is no longer in doubt. We know that it is the firmest of all ladders, able to endure any shaking, any storms, or even any clumsy assistant trying to help steady it. Not only do angels indicate who Jesus is, someone who connects heaven and earth, but they help orient us towards Jesus. By their orientation towards Jesus night and day, they call us to do the same. They call us to love like Jesus did, to live like Jesus did, to forgive like he did, and to proclaim the truth like he did. Sometimes we convey these messages with words, and sometimes we convey them with our actions. Angels do both. We're called to do likewise, to be oriented towards God so that others may follow after us, and to share the good news of God as revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. So happy Michaelmas. Happy Sunday. And keep your eyes open, for as it says elsewhere in Scripture, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Amen.